years, decades even before we retire, we start to dream of all the places we could go. Sights never seen, places never been. The world is a retiree's oyster. It's an exciting time filled with the thrill of finally doing something that you've been waiting for a really long time. But the practicalities of travelling in retirement require a decent amount of preparation. Are you fit and healthy enough to travel? What happens if you get sick? Today, you'll hear from a retired couple who have been travelling around Australia and soon plan to relocate overseas, as well as two experts who'll share what you need to think about before you go anywhere. Roz and Steve Guggenberger were well-travelled before they met and married in their 30s. The couple worked in Canberra, Roz as a personal assistant and Steve in IT, while continuing to travel as often as they could. They're joining me now. Roz and Steve, welcome.
Hello, Tegan.
Hello.
You're both 1 week away from returning to your home in Hervey Bay. Can you give me a sense of where you've been travelling most recently?
We've only had a short trip, this one. We've got a big fifth wheeler and it's very comfortable. And we've just done a little trip around sort of Birrabarra and inland a little bit west. And so this one's just been a short trip because we haven't been in it since August last year. So we sort of figure we need to get back and make sure we know how to do it all.
Because you've done some bigger trips in this same van, haven't you?
Yes, a couple of years ago we went out west to Longreach and this trip started because we, you know, had a Citroen get-together in Maryborough and we just continued on the road from there, yes.
Because another thing we've got is a little yellow 2CV Citroën, and Citroëns came from all over Australia and gathered in Maryborough, so we joined them.
That's so cute. They're such cute little cars. I'd love to see them en masse. You've got a big year of travelling ahead of you this year. What have you got planned?
We do. We're actually just back for a short while in Hervey Bay before we get organised, and we're off to Canada and Alaska to do a couple of cruises, and then we're actually cruising back to Australia from Hawaii because we do tend to like cruises.
And before that, like early in January, February this year, we were in Cambodia, so Siem Reap, and we really loved it. So we'll probably, you know, sort of mention that a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Cambodia because this is more than just a trip you've got planned there.
It is. Look, we went up there. I actually came out of the blue. I saw an ad on Facebook for this a concept which an English guy and his father have built an apartment building in Siem Reap. It's called Sullivan Retirement Residence. And he offered a come and stay with us and see what you think of it deal. And we thought, this is too good to be true. so we did that for 2 weeks in February and loved it.
I'll just add that. The two-week deal is to come and try it, and that was for free. And he has supplies a driver, and you got this accommodation, and yeah, it was just too good to be true. Yeah,
because their idea is it's a big step for everybody, and to hear about it and look at it, pictures on a website's one thing, but to actually go and see it in the flesh, you get the idea. Is it for me or maybe not?
So you're going to retire to Cambodia.
That's one of the plans. Look, I don't know that we're going to be there full-time. We probably will keep our place in Hervey Bay as well and sort of alternate between the two.
Because I think what his plan is, you don't actually buy into the place. You just pay a monthly rental. And if you don't like it after 6 months, all you've got to do is give him 2 months' notice and you can come back either to our home in Hervey Bay, or you can go somewhere else.
So the appeal of something like Cambodia, I'm imagining, is that you get, for a very low cost, quite a luxurious way of life. But I might come to Chris Geis, who's the Chief Executive of National Seniors Australia, who also runs National Seniors Travel. Chris, welcome to Life Matters on Radio National.
Hi, Tegan. Good to be with you.
So there's lots of practicalities to consider when you're a retiree setting off on an adventure. When you're speaking to the seniors that you work with, what are some of the classic things that people underestimate about travelling?
I guess as people age, health does become a consideration. And so I guess good planning in regards to health concerns needs to be addressed. So whether that's you're just travelling for, let's say you're going to Canada or you're going to Asia or you're going to Europe, you should have a plan for that. Or whether you're looking at like what Ros and Steve are considering, where they're looking at something a lot more long term, you need to sort of look at, well, what are the local health arrangements, and are there reciprocal health arrangements with the Australian government, and what's the plan if, pardon me, in the worst case scenario, if you had to repatriate back to Australia, how would you manage that?
So what sort of practical tips do you give in terms of if you've got an ongoing chronic condition, you're living with a disability, what sort of things do people need to think about before they book that plane ticket?
I guess most importantly is understand that whilst there are a number of countries around the world that have reciprocal health arrangements with the Australian government, there's about 11 countries, and probably the most well-known are New Zealand and the UK, but there are other countries that have this, where they look after emergency care, hospital care, those sorts of things. But you've got to have a plan to get home, and that's why having travel insurance is incredibly important. And most importantly, you need to make sure that you're protected for pre-existing conditions. So we find a lot of circumstances where the question will be asked around, do you have any pre-existing conditions? And someone will say, oh, no, I'm in perfect health. And then you sort of ask a few more questions around, oh, are you on warfarin or anything like that? Oh, yes, I've got that. It's because they're on medication, they have the perspective that I don't have any health concerns because I'm feeling fit. It's the medicines that are keeping you well. But very important from the point of view of disclosure perspective to make sure that you have that conversation with your travel insurer to disclose it so that you're well and truly protected when you go overseas.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and today we're talking about travel. Chris Grice is with National Seniors Australia. Chris, we just heard from Ros and Steve before that people are considering a more permanent move overseas where the cost of living is much less expensive. Is this a trend that you're seeing broadly with Australian retirees?
Yeah, I guess that we are, and it's for two reasons. I guess there's a cost factor, and also there's this is a poor expression, but there's the romance, I suppose, of a foreign land to live out your retirement era. But I guess probably it's a little bit of also an indictment of what's happening with the aged care system in Australia. And because of the challenges around workforce numbers and basically being able to get packages in Australia, government-funded packages, that there are challenges that people are sort of looking, okay, are there alternatives that maybe I can tap into? And in particular, Asia tends to be. We're seeing a lot more in Thailand, for example, where they are sort of positioned as more resort-like, but they are supported. Whilst they are resorts, they are also supported by care, and in particular, that they're now addressing, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's and those sorts of things as well.
It sounds like it really a real kind of dial shift in terms of affordability for people. I suppose we could talk at length about what it means to sort of export our people to Southeast Asia for that sort of care. But in terms of the system that we currently have in Australia with pensions and Medicare and that sort of thing, if you are thinking of moving overseas to somewhere less expensive, what sort of considerations are there?
Yeah, you're right, Tegan. That point should be made is that, you know, we're exporting, I guess, part of our issues in Australia to other countries and putting their own systems under pressure. So that's one issue by itself. But I guess, importantly, we need to make sure that, that people are going into this process well, well rehearsed as to what to do, how it actually works, and always take into account the what-ifs. That's incredibly important because, sort of just relying on someone else, the government will support me. The government will repatriate me back to Australia. No. And in particular, I guess from July, when we've got the new aged care system kicking in, and that will require whether pensioners, part pensioners or self-funded retirees, there is more contribution on the individual personally from a financial perspective to pay for their own care. And so you can sort of understand, well, if I'm paying my own care locally, are there options for me in another land that maybe could they provide in their mind a better care? So it's going to be interesting as we move forward, sort of thing, as to as people choose What will they choose? Choose local or overseas?
This is Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I've been asking you about whether you've travelled in retirement and if it lived up to your expectations. One says microtourism within a few kilometres of home, walking, cycling, etc., and gardening. So much to notice, including gradual change. Dean says, these people are loaded. How about speaking to a lifelong renter instead of a lifelong landlord? We aren't all so well healed. Sue says similarly, all these trips cost money. They're not reachable for many. Perhaps microtourism is an alternative there, but it's not the same as going overseas. I want to bring in Jill Weeks, who's authored and co-authored three books on retirement, 21 Ways to Retire, Where to Retire in Australia, and Retire Busy. Jill, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks, Tegan.
When it comes to travel, what are most people looking to get out of it? Is it always just about going somewhere new?
It's not always. I think in the past you could say, look, we're going overseas on a tour, or we're going a lap of Australia in the caravan, or that sort of thing. But it's a very diverse group, I'd say, retirees, because you've got, of course, people who just love the caravan and, you know, off they go. And I know that a few years ago, about 3 years ago or so, there was a registration of caravans that reached almost 700,000 in Australia. So you wonder how many of those are the retirees. But also, it's not just caravans, it's the cruises, for example, or the blue nomads, some of them are called, because they just keep going on numerous cruises all over the place. You've got people who go and work, for example. You know, I met a couple in Mackay who'd gone out to a station. Well, their kids actually found them the job. Hey, mum and dad, get out of retirement, go and do this. They went out to a cattle station, I think it was, out in the middle of Queensland, and worked for 6 months. And she was an ex-teacher, so she tutored, and he was worked in transport, I think, and he was the handyman, and they loved it so much. They got home, and the station owner, you know, 4 hours down the track, ran and said, hey, can we book you for next year? You know, trying to gazump them from their previous role. So there's people who work there, and as Roz and Steve were saying about going overseas, people go and do voluntary work, of course. One of the great voluntary ideas of travelling in Australia is actually in Kimber in South Australia, which is, I suppose it's about 200 kilometres from Port Lincoln, or the middle place between Perth and Sydney, and you can get a free camp there if you would like to do some volunteering there. So they give you free camp, and I think it's free electricity as well, and they want your skills and interests, and you can, for example, they've got people who've painted street furniture, done data entry, been judges at the local show, and helped restore engines, you name it, you know, just for something to do. And I guess it's a bit of a brag factor. I did this in Kimber, or I helped the town as well. And then you've got, you know, a lot of people who like the adventure. Let's just go and do something. And often you'll find these people are on small tours, or maybe solo travellers themselves. So it's very much different. I found a vehicle the other day that had a big sign, and it was called Research Development Vehicle into Ski, Spending the Kids' Inheritance.
Jill, what I'm hearing, like, obviously there's people spending the kids' inheritance, literally, but we did have a few people texting there saying, oh, these all sound so expensive. What I'm hearing from you is it doesn't have to be hugely expensive to be able to get out and see Australia.
No. And I'm not sure if it's still available, but there used to be a scheme in Western Australia called the Outback Helpers Scheme, where you would go and travel and, you know, help out on these huge stations, like much like the couple from Mackay. And so sometimes these are paid, sometimes it's more voluntary. So there's different ways. And, of course, people like to house sit, for example. People do home exchanges. There may be something that, you know, you can utilise your ability. I've met a couple from who actually did the Kimber experience, and she said, look, we just go and babysit caravan parks. You know, owners just want a little bit of time off, or they go into a cafe. Do you need some help? We need some cash. You know, they do that sort of thing. So, you know, there's huge ways of getting around it, I suppose. But look, it can be very expensive. You look at some of the cruises, you look at some of the tours you can do. It's quite interesting. I even came across one man who has coined the term fruising, which means he cruises on freighters.
So instead
of, yeah, he goes to a freighting company, a ship, you know, obviously, and there are people that actually go and cruise on freighters. There are a few problems with that in terms of, well, when the captain says get off, I think it's the last port that they go to, you must get off. And it's not like you're sort of lying back with a cocktail all day, every day. But he said it was fantastic. He loved reading his books. He loved looking at the ocean. He said the only problem was climbing so many sets of stairs to get to the dining room.
There's not as many buffets and water slides on freighters as there is on those big cruise liners, but it does sound good. Jill, thanks for the insights there. Chris, I'd love to come back to you just for some sort of parting wisdom, I suppose, for people who are going, yes, I want to travel. This sounds like me. One person's texted in saying, good travel insurance is paramount. Moving to Asia for aged care, there are many considerations, including Centrelink, if you're receiving their aged care pension. What sort of things should be on people's to checklist before they embark on a trip like this?
Yeah, I guess importantly, if there is some sort of government benefit applicable that, you know, basically if you're going longer than 6 weeks, you need to have a conversation with Services Australia or Centrelink. That's pretty important. But I think probably the most important thing is, tying back to that health situation, is just make sure that you're match fit. So the thing is, if you're expecting to do, you know, walking for, 14 hours a day, and you're going to be sort of experiencing great journeys across the world, and you don't do that in your normal life, you know, be prepared that you might be under a little bit of discomfort. So you need to prepare for these things and make sure that, you know, like if there's medication or anything, you just need to be prepared and sort of you are away from your home base for a significant period of time. So just be prepared for those sorts of things, really important. And also, yeah, that travel insurance, critically important. But also, because you're away from your home base, remember the risky behaviours. So things like, for example, you know, alcohol, mopeds, motorcycles, you know, that you wouldn't ride a moped without a helmet in Australia. So why would you do that in Asia? You know, it's sort of because you're on holiday, that doesn't mean to say that you need to sort of just forget about the normal behaviours that you would do in Australia, sort of thing.
Thank you, Chris Grice, Chief Executive of National Seniors Australia. You also heard from Jill Weeks, author of 21 Ways to Retire, and retiree travellers Roz and Steve Guggenberger.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.